The title of today's message is Defeating Fear. Defeating Fear. If the enemy has one favorite weapon, that weapon is fear. Because he knows when man encounters fear, there is great danger from fear, and fear produces in our lives tremendous stress. The more and more I hear about young people today with all that they're walking through, the more I hear about the impact that stress is having upon these precious lives. And then also for us as a people that have transitioned into this new reality, we are trying to understand what is going on around us. And when we do not understand something, stress and fear seek their home within us. But there is transition that happens in life. Sometimes it's more about individuals, and then sometimes it can move a whole nation, and then other times the whole world is under transformation and change. And I think you remember probably one of the greatest stories about things changing for not only an individual but also a whole nation, and that is Joshua. Joshua was given the responsibility to take the people that God had gathered through the ministry of Moses and to lead them into, and you know, the promised land. And I find it interesting in the book of Joshua, as it opens up, God is speaking to Joshua, and he's telling Joshua, do not fear. Because when environments change and the world changes around us, fear seeks to distract and to take us off of God's path. You know this verse very well, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God says to this leader, taking the nation into God's promised land, have I not commanded you? And this is after a long journey of encouragement that precedes verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. God is giving that repetitive call, that statement that he doesn't want Joshua to miss. You shall not be what? Afraid. There will not be a home that you will make for fear to live in you. Do not be afraid. Do not be, and you know this word, discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He's saying this, your courage is going to be challenged. Because discouragement is stating that something is pulling courage out of you. And as a believer, courage is essential in our faith. And when I say that, if we claim to have the Holy Spirit alive in us, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, how can fear and the might of God dwell in one house? So God is saying, I know your challenge, I know the temptation, but do not be discouraged. How many of us get discouraged in life? It's a challenge, isn't it? Life is filled with stuff. You say, why did that happen? And it happens. And at that moment in time, we choose our song. And our song is either trust in God or woe is me. And we labor in the fear and we labor in the stress and our lives totally change. But see, Joshua, God was encouraging him, you're going to go into the promised land. It's going to be the call that I've placed upon you. There's going to be battles. There's going to be things that are going to try to steal your courage. But you're going to stand. Why? Because I have commanded you. Now, don't you know when God commands, he's not a tyrant, right? He commands for a purpose. He commands for our greatest good. And then we see this as a reminder in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You say, Pastor, I'm a kind of timid person. I'm the kind of person that just, you know, I get scared quick, and I relate to that. I know what that feels like. I used to call out for my mama that I had a nightmare, even when I was just making it up, where she would come and guard me from the boogeyman that was under the bed waiting to get me. I know about that. But in that, we're reminded, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Another way of saying self-control, fruit of the Holy Spirit, is a sound mind. But what I love about this verse, I mean, I thank God that we are not created by Him to be people of fear. And I also thank God that we're created by Him to be people of power. And thank God we're called to be people of love. And as you know, with your life, sometimes when it gets out of control, you don't have soundness of mind. I know what that feels like. How thankful we are that God gives us self-control. And then again, the big word here is for God gave. It's not dependent on us. It's dependent on God. And if God has commanded it, God will provide what is needed. God gave a spirit to us that was not a spirit of fear. He gave us power, He gave us love, and He gave us self-control. I want to talk today about, again, defeating our fears. Fear manifests in all kinds of ways in people's lives. Some people, when they get scared, you know what they do? They look for something to change how they're thinking. And nowadays, a lot of people look to what to change how they're thinking? Is it alcohol? Is it some kind of medication? Is it, Lord help us, is it weed? What are people using to deal with their stress and their fear? All kinds of things are being used. But God has provided that which is needed to overcome fear, that which is seeking to control our lives. How does an enemy control our lives? See, the goal of our defeat is control. You've seen it. Somebody will become like a dictator of a country. And they will begin to demand how people should act and be. And if people don't respond, we've seen it throughout history, eventually they are controlled so that they do respond. Even to the point of imprisonment and sometimes even death. Because the goal of our defeat is control. That's what Satan wants in our lives more than anything else, is to control us. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. And he wants to control who? God. He knows God's spirit lives in you, and he wants that place unto himself. What strategy is used to control our lives? And they're laid out, and we're going to discuss them today. Tools that are designed for our destruction. The first tool of conquering us is what we've been talking about from the very beginning, fear. Fear has a goal, and that is to enter into our lives so that we surrender our hope. If fear can make you set down hope, it's on its way to that control that it desires. Think about it for a minute. When does stress really intensify? When we don't see there's any hope. When we look around and say, all is lost. That's not a good feeling, is it? But that is the fruit of what fear is seeking to steal. It wants to take away from us hope. We also see the strategy is not only to implant fear so that we surrender our hope, but also it uses lies so we surrender the truth. Why is it common that when man tries to control man, it is always layered with lies? Because lies have an intention. They come to take away the guidance of truth in our lives. And when I speak of that, I speak of it in a spiritual sense, but it's also real outside of just living life upon this earth. If someone wants to control me, they're going to lie to me because they want me to buy in to their perspective, regardless if it's true or not. And we see this in our walk of faith. The father of lies seeks to steal the precious truth of God from our hearts. Because the heart that is hopeless has bought the lies of the enemy that says there is no hope. One thing that is sure within the heart that is filled with the courage of God is hope prevails no matter what the environment presents. Also, hope that is surrendered is a lie that has been bought. And the enemy will use lies so that we surrender truth. But now there's another weapon that those that seek control over us will use. We said fear is one. If you can get people scared, you can get them off the path. If you can get people to buy a lie, they're going to follow you. But there's another scary, scary thing that we've all experienced, and it is bribery. Bribery. Okay, my fear is not getting you to do what I want you to do. So maybe my lies will get you to do what I want you to do. And then, if that doesn't work, maybe I'll bribe you to do what I want you to do. Another way of saying that, I'm going to tempt you to do what my control wants you to do. You ever been there? You ever been there? That's how temptation works. The enemy will tell you, this is what you get if you do what I want you to do. Look at the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. It was all about bribery. Jesus didn't go for it, did he? Because he knew the breath that was breathing those words upon him. And they were totally contradictive of the word of God. Out of context. And in our lives, when control comes to take us, it's going to use every form of bribery to get us to go there. And I've told you before, times have changed. Times have changed. As Joshua stood looking at the promised land, he was looking probably for Moses. But Moses wasn't coming back. God says, you're crossing over from the wilderness. Things are getting ready to change. Bible also tells us before Jesus returns, it's going to be like the days of, you know his name, Noah. Jesus is at the door. He's coming quick. And to take the precious ones that Jesus has spilt his blood for, the enemy is wide open with fear, with lies, and with bribery. Are we going to surrender our hope? Are we going to surrender the truth? And are we going to surrender wisdom because we've been bribed? Think about this world and all the things that man is doing to pay us off so that we will do what this world wants us to do. That's how the enemy is. Hey, you enjoy this. If you first of all, surrender your hope. Your hope's not in God. Your hope is in me. Your hope is in yourself. I don't want to believe a lie. There is no lie. You make it up as you go. You choose your own truth. And you know what? If you will just simply surrender the hope of God and the truth of God, you're going to get what you want. What your flesh wants, not what the Spirit of God wants. And there's a big, big difference. A huge difference. One is destined for the grave. One is destined for eternal life. Wake up, O heart of man. For the breath of God has poured forth his wisdom all around us. For those whose eyes are distracted from truth, the lies have found their home. For the temptation, the bribery, is a distraction from what God's purpose and plans are. And God is hungry for hearts that will not surrender his wisdom. You know, I say this a lot, and you say it's because of your age. We walk around with a constant window into bribery. Our smartphones have not only dumbed us down, but they've heightened our attentiveness to something that is leading to death and not life. And we can buy in and just let it lead us, but it's not there for our life. It is there for our destruction. And you know what's so good about God? He's forged a way. Why? Because we're not going to accept bribery. You're not going to pay me off to do what God has made clear to me not to do. For you, oh man, you ain't going to control me. For God is the one who, what? Controls us if we are obedient and desire. Bribery. See, temptation, a distraction from the fruit of our actions. It's like, what is going to happen if I make this choice and do this? What's going to happen if I take the bribe? Well, the goal, again, of the bribery is to get you to not see what the fruit is going to be of your choice. Never forget that all actions have consequences. Some are good, some are lifelong pain. But the bribery will be the shiny thing to get your eyes off of the most brilliant God who has gotten your attention. And when God has our attention, it's grace. Because not everybody's there. Not everybody has the vision of God in their hearts. Why? It's grace. It's mercy that has reached you. And do not take it for granted. Do not take it for granted. Now, what happens when fear doesn't work? What happens when lies don't work to gain control? What happens when bribery is not making it happen? What's the next step? And it is force. You're not going to do what I want you to do. I'm going to make you do it. You ever been there? If you're not going to surrender your hope, if you're not going to surrender the truth, if you're not going to surrender wisdom, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to force you to do it. That's the heart of control. Force compliance. And there are societies that have truly fallen into the mesmerizing impact of unabandoned power. And somehow they've nodded and said, that's okay. You can force me. Don't you see it? Don't you see how the enemy manipulates? He will dominate and try to shadow or place his shadow above us so that we will think he is the one who is able to force us to do his will, when all along God's breath removes our enemy. Get behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. For the truth of God has set me free. See, control by force. Force surrendering control. Is there anything in your journey of this life where you remember where you surrendered the control of God for some other power? And when I say the control of God, we, by grace, have the strength of God called self-control, a fruit of the Holy Spirit that covers our lives with God's will being that which guides us. God never forces his control upon us. Not in this life he does. There will be consequences for our choices that will be forced. No one wants to go to hell, do they? But many will. And Scripture tells us more will than won't. But right now, what we have is a God who says, and he will eternally be like this, I want a relationship with love that values my authority above all things, because you know this, I am your heavenly Father who loves you and has the best intentions for you. So listen and let me lead. But when control wants us and it doesn't get its way, fall in control, it will seek to force its will upon us. Control will be mandated force of man. You will do what I what? Say. The Bible has made it really clear. In the last days, the will of man is going to seek to lead the masses further and further from God to a place where they will bow their knee to some other authority than God. We know the Antichrist will seek to be, say that word with me, worshipped. And if he is near, then he's going to use all four of these strategies: fear, lies, bribery, and force. The word makes it clear, the blood of martyrs will be plentiful for those that refuse to surrender their hope and their trust in God. Where will we stand? Where will we stand when the force comes to control us? See, the goal of our defeat and the thing that is hung on the wall for the fallen heart, the goal of our defeat is control. You know, you say, wouldn't it be that they just want us dead? Well, they controlled our death, maybe. But overall, it's using us as their minions, leading us as their flock after the will of their heart. We have the what shepherd? The good shepherd. And we are so blessed to know that every intention of God is for our highest good. But there are shepherds, false Christs, that are upon this earth and have been upon this earth, that all they want to do is lead us to their control. Oh, I love, we've been going through Colossians in our study, daily devotion. And if you haven't enjoyed that or been participating in that, you're missing out. It's a powerful, powerful study. And it's about 15 minutes a day. And it focused so much on today is when we get our eyes off of Jesus, everything else falls apart. But the purpose of our growth and the purpose of the church is to exalt who? Jesus. Not the preacher. Not the image of the church or what I'm saying, the church mentality. Look how great our church is. Not the bells and whistles that are at the church. No. The goal of the body of Christ is to draw hearts to focus in on who? Jesus. And the more we focus in on Jesus, the more he controls our lives. And when I say that, his control is our free will given to the one we know we can trust. And to the one that has a problem with Jesus being in control, guess what? You really got a problem. You know, sometimes we'll read the scripture and we'll say, we're a slave to Christ. We're servants of Christ. You say, man, it's too harsh, man. I'm American. I do what I want. No, we do the will of God. Let me put it this way. We get the opportunity to accomplish the will of God. And it doesn't get any better than that. We see this. The strategy is used to control our life's fear so that we would surrender hope. We also know that the goal is to not only surrender our hope through fear, but through lies, that we would surrender the truth, through bribery, that we would surrender the wisdom of God, and through force, we would surrender God's control in our lives. And then I want to look at a few scriptures in closing today. Force control, again, produces stress within our lives. God has equipped us to be victorious when these strategies come against us. I want to read, it's not on the screen here today, but John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. What does that look like? Your word leads me, abiding, meaning I live in your word. It's not that I just know your word, but your word is applied through the steps of my life. Verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what the control of God does in our lives. It sets us free. The control of man will do all that it can to bound our lives in the will of fallen man's heart. God has equipped us to be victorious when it comes to these strategies. And I want to look at a few things as we conclude today. The path of defeating our fears and overcoming stress is found in true worship. And next week, we're going to focus in on what true worship really is. But if we will allow true worship to be that which we live, we will see this. Our stress and fears fall away in the worship of our loving, perfect, and almighty God. Have you thought about that, about God like that lately? That he is all love. He is all perfection, and he's almighty. Any source coming to control us, they've lost already, because we hold on to the perfect God, the loving God, the almighty God. Someone can cloak themselves in their own power and feel like they're greater than God, but guess what? They're not. They can seek to bring our demise and might even accomplish that, but they have not won the victory. We are victorious. The faith that will stand in these days is the faith that never forgets that we serve a loving and a perfect and an almighty God. And when fear comes, it will be devastated in the heart where God resides. Courage is going to be there. And then back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I want you to think about this for a moment. Have I not commanded you? Again, God speaking to Joshua. Joshua, you get ready to do something. Maybe you didn't know was coming, but you are going to lead my people into the promised land. I always thought that was Moses' job. No, Joshua, it's your job. I don't want that job. No, it's your call. So at that moment, again, I'm thinking about how Joshua felt. Where is Moses? And you know, it's a lot easier to follow than to what? Lead. And it's a whole lot easier when you lead for dramatic change and you have a council. But the mantle is in your hand. It's not easy. Joshua was to see them cross over, not to the land of ease, but the land that was promised. It's your turn, Joshua. Will you be willing? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Joshua. And I can imagine what I would have thought. Why not? I mean, we're not talking about days that were going to be easy, right? And he reminded them, because the Lord your God will be with you. That's why. Why not be afraid in these crazy days? Why? Because the Lord of God, the Lord our God, will be with us. Really, in these days that we don't know who to believe, and there's such a control that is on people in countries today, really? Why should we not be afraid? Never forget God is with you. When you get the worst news that you could ever hear, never forget that you are not to be fearful, because what? God is with you. Do we take that lightly? If we take God lightly, we take that lightly. And then this is the reality. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you, and then never forget this, wherever you go. We didn't envision 2020 and 2021. We didn't. And in our minds, I want to go back to 2019, 2018. I don't know if you thought that. I've thought that. 2018 looked a whole lot better. I want to go back. But that's not where your feet are. That's not where you're at. So here's the thing. Succumb. Let fear have its home. Let control of some other source or power have its will. Or continue to be reminded and know that God is with you wherever you go. You know, I always wondered that last generation, the people that are part of that last generation are going to see some frightening things, but God says, do not be afraid. God has made it real clear that we are to stay filled with courage even when these things unfold. And if you don't remember what the days of Noah were like, they were some frightening days, and there's a lot to unpack there. And I hope one day we will. But here's the thing. Wherever we find ourselves, the Lord our God is with us. Not to discourage us, but to fill us full with faith and strength of knowing it is Him that is in us and that we are not to be afraid, because that's not the spirit that God has placed within His children. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, and love, and self-control. Don't ever forget that. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that self-control is what? Remember? A sound mind. Can stress live long in a sound mind? Now, here's the thing about stress. Stress is a product of our environment, right? And what it's seeking to do is to make its home in our thinking. It doesn't have to live there. Even if we're nervous, and I know all about that, sweet peace that passes all understanding, come and reside in my heart. There's a reason why God says peace without understanding, meaning if we sat and thought about all the details, we would let that environment take the peace. But God says, my peace is greater than where you find yourself. And then I'm going to ask if we could stand to our feet this morning as we go before the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We say, fear be defeated in our lives, Lord Jesus. And where fear is masked with some other definition, Lord, if we have wrapped it up with some other definition, may we see it as you see it in our lives. And may we not be fooled by that which tries to take residence in our heart. We say, guard us, Father, from fear that seeks to still our hope. And right now I ask that we would unite our faith and prayer and trust in God and just pray hope be poured out in every heart that hears this message right now. Those that are at home right now that are walking through challenges, those that have gathered in this house, those that will hear this message at a later time, pour forth hope in them, Lord Jesus. Hope in great, great measure, enduring hope. And we ask, O Lord, guard us from lies that seek for us to surrender your truth. In the name of Jesus, where manipulation and the words of man seek to change your perspective in us, we say, help us not surrender your truth, even when it seems to our palate to be all right. Make it according to your heart, not our heart. And then, Lord, we ask that you would guard us from temptation, that you would guard us from bribery that seeks to shine this object before us and say, it's all right, I'll give you this if you do that. Guard us, Lord Jesus. Let nothing of man's deception, man's enticement, let it not hold our hearts in any way, shape, or form. Because our dependency is not upon man, it's upon you. So bribery be gone in the name of Jesus. And we ask, O Father God, we ask that you would guard us from the forces that seek to remove your control from our lives. The selfish heart of man, the heart, Lord, that is detached from you, that is filled with demonic purpose and guidance. Guard us from those forces in the name of Jesus. We lift up, Lord, countries right now that have this heart of control to take people where they want them to be. And we say, touch those people with your strength and your power right now. And that nothing would surrender in them the control of you in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing and bring honor to God today, these all